What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. We got a show lined up for everybody out there in Southern California. If you're listening on the ESPN app or on iTunes, big game. Hall of Famer James Worthy coming up at 7:30. Bobby Marks coming up at 8:30. Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on that James Harden deal to the Brooklyn Nets and what that means for the Lakers. I'm going to actually just go right off of what Sedano and LZ were hitting on those Shaq comments. I want to finish my point there because we got obviously a lot of Lakers that we're going to get into. And of course, Lakers taking on the Pelicans tomorrow, Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, some of these old Lakers. But it's interesting. Since that trade went down, you're hearing a lot of different people kind of chime in about what they think about James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. And the only thing that matters, you know, from my standpoint, my perspective is, can that squad come out of the Eastern Conference and hang with the Los Angeles Lakers? Can those three superstars, can they coexist? Can they figure out a way to get out of the East? And if the Lakers handle their business, if those two teams both faced each other, what kind of matchup would that look like? The Los Angeles Lakers versus the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and whoever the third guy you want to talk about with the Lakers, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, whatever the case is. I'm one of those that think that you got certain teams that have a window that they're in right now. And you could do one of two things when you're in that window. You could kind of stay on the fringe and be on the outside looking in, or you can go all in. And a lot of that has to do with where your players are, what the contracts look like, the age of your roster. Lakers is a perfect example. Last season for the Lakers, I remember when the Lakers traded for AD, there were people that were criticizing the Lakers. I remember having other ESPN folks, you know, on a national scale come on the show and say, Alan, they gave up too much. Are you kidding me? Do you hear how many swap picks they gave up and future picks they gave? And on top of that, Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, and just kind of go down the list, all the talent the Lakers had to ship out for Anthony Davis. In most cases, maybe you don't make that deal if LeBron's not already here and Rajon Rondo is not already here and you already have a roster that you feel like you know, can compete for a championship. Lakers, different story. You're trying to win right now with LeBron James, and LeBron already got his first championship. So there's no room for conversation. You know, whatever the Lakers accomplish moving forward, now don't get me wrong, I'd be disappointed at this point because of how good this squad is that they don't pick up two NBA championships while LeBron James is here. But LeBron came, the front office delivered, Lakers got a championship. I'm not making similar comparisons to the Brooklyn Nets in the sense that James Harden is Anthony Davis or something along those lines, but their window is right now. So for those that think that this is not a smart trade, maybe they shouldn't have made this move, I'm go back to this. You only get a few opportunities in sports where you got that chance to win right now. And I think what the Brooklyn Nets did is exactly what they needed to do. Because now you got the star power that you can go up against any squad in the NBA. Now, let me also be the first to tell you, it's not just talent that's going to win you an NBA championship. It's not. Watch the Lakers right now. You know, Lakers have, they have this combination that's very, very unique. And this is special. So if you're, you know, if you've been watching and listening to Lakers basketball for a long time, you don't get many Kobe and Shaqs that come around and you got a chance to win multiple championships. You don't get too many opportunities where Phil Jackson and Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant and then some really solid role players like Mehta and Trevor Ariza and Derek Fisher and go down the list, Lamar Odom, some of those players that helped chip in for that Lakers championship. You don't get many runs like that. And I know it seems like for the Lakers, this happens more often than not, because it does, because the Suns and the Sacramento Kings and the Washington Wizards, there's a lot of other franchises that this just doesn't happen. So when I see a team go all in, I get it. And I put out this tweet, and I'll take some phone calls on this before we get to James Worthy. First of all, I made a awful mistake yesterday. I tried tweeting out who would win in a 7-game set between the, or who is the favorite to win a championship, Lakers or Nets, right after the deal, right? Well, when you have an account that's basically all Laker fans, I think it was 95% Laker fans, so I'm going to go ahead and just not put up those kind of polls there anymore. But another poll that I put up, or I didn't put up a poll today, I just asked for Laker fans to chime in. What's a tougher matchup for the Lakers? A 7-game set against the Brooklyn Nets or a 7-game set against the Los Angeles Clippers? Who'd be a tougher matchup? As you guys can tell, I'm a proponent of the trade if I'm the Brooklyn Nets. As you can tell, I'm one that's taken the, you know, the dice and saying, okay, let me roll the dice right here while I got Kevin Durant, who, you know, Michael says this all the time. Michael always says, if KD is that player that was in Golden State and he's talking about coming back from his injury, it doesn't get any better than Kevin Durant. It really does not get any better than Kevin Durant other than LeBron James. Or if you want to put AD right there as well, because AD is the best two-way player in the NBA, go ahead and do so. But it doesn't get much better than Kevin Durant. I hear a lot of people criticizing James Harden. And I don't blame you for criticizing him because of the way he left the Houston Rockets. I don't question that. If I was a, imagine if there's a Laker who is on this squad, on this team. He's been the best player for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. I forget how long James Harden's been in Houston. Shows up to training camp. Pretty much is like, hey, I don't want to be there. So I don't care what you guys do. But also shows up to training camp, not in shape, not ready to go. Is not passionate about playing basketball. At least it doesn't seem like it. Disrespecting his teammates left and right. I get if you don't respect James Harden, and there's a lot of people that also go on this with Kyrie Irving, so there is an there's a tremendous amount of question marks around that Brooklyn Nets team. But if James Harden is just James Harden, the dude that could put up 40 points a game on any given night, or can drop 15 assists on any given night, let's not forget how good James Harden is. You don't have to like his style of play. I'm not a James Harden fan. I'm not. I'm not a fan of somebody that plays one side of the court. I'm not a fan of somebody where you could tell there's times he's interested and other times he's not interested. But I think those who criticize James Harden forget how good James Harden is. And Harden on the Brooklyn Nets becomes the second best player on that team. MVP James Harden, who's won an MVP in this league, like I said, can drop 40 points any given night and can dish out 15 assists, becomes the second best player on the Brooklyn Nets. And oh, by the way, you know who the best player on that team is? It's KD, Kevin Durant. And then there's this wild card in Kyrie Irving that nobody has any idea what's going to happen with Kyrie. Nobody does. And I'm cautious to criticize Kyrie because I just don't know enough. So I don't. So I'm a little bit more cautious with his situation and his predicament. Now, over his career, the way he's carried himself, I'm like, what's this dude doing? I don't want this guy on my team. I mean, Kyrie, half the time he looks disinterested. The other half of the time, yes, he's one of the best isolation players in the league, him and James Harden. Can you throw up a lot of questions of how is that entire mix going to work? Absolutely you can. But I find it difficult for me. If the Brooklyn Nets are trying to win an NBA championship and you look at the Lakers roster, if they don't make that trade for James Harden, I don't think they got a puncher's shot. Maybe now they have a puncher's shot. Maybe now they have, if all those guys start clicking and you get role players that buy into the system and KD becomes a leader, maybe then you can hang with a team like the Los Angeles Lakers. Would still take the Lakers 10 times out of 10. And when we come back, I'll kind of explain my theory here that even with the Brooklyn Nets going out and getting James Harden, why the Lakers will still have an advantage. Because there's a lot more to making up a roster than just the players and the names that are on that roster. There's a lot more that comes into it. And I'll get Laker fans' thought on this. Who would be a tougher matchup for the Los Angeles Lakers, the Clippers or the Brooklyn Nets? 877-710-ESPN. Thank you for being a part of the show. Just a quick reminder, coming up at 7:30, big game. Hall of Famer James Worthy will join the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I got a little heated there, Laker fans. Got a little heated there. It's kind of funny. You know, I heard Shaq's comments from earlier, and I get the disrespect on James Harden. I get it, how he kind of handled himself. But I think people are forgetting that James Harden is one of the best players in the world, wherever you want to put him. Top 10? I think a year ago you'd have probably said he's top 5 or 6. And, you know, obviously him getting to the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, I would do that. I completely understand why Brooklyn is going all in right now. And if you don't think that's the best team in the Eastern Conference, you know, I would say that no question about it, they're the best team in the East. A lot of question marks still left. We have no idea what Kyrie Irving's going to do and what's happening on that front. I got to imagine that James Harden's going to be on that team. You got a chance, you know, to compete for a championship. You have to imagine that he eventually comes back, but we'll see. And if James Harden gets back into shape, I say this, and I'm not even really joking around, when James Harden and I have the same body style coming into the season in training camp, probably not good for James Harden. We should not look the same. And I think James Harden and I looked exactly the same coming into training camp. So I'm going to take a few phone calls here in just a second. 877-710-ESPN. The question is not, well, are the Brooklyn Nets now better than the Los Angeles Lakers? Because I don't believe they are, and I'm not even going to bring that question up. But what I will ask is, who would be a tougher matchup in a seven-game set for the Lakers, the Clippers or the Brooklyn Nets? All right? I think the Clippers are the second-best team in the Western Conference. I think the Brooklyn Nets, when the dust kind of settles 20 games from now, 25 games from now, give them an opportunity to play together. I think talent is the most important thing. Now, you got to have the right talent. So let me kind of explain what I'm referring to here. On paper, if you just looked on paper and you looked at that Brooklyn Nets, you looked at their roster, you'd be like, damn, what? They have these three guys. Kyrie Irving's your third best player. That's incredible. That's amazing. But it's not all about the names that are on the roster. It's got to be the right mix. It's got to be the right fit. So the Lakers are a very, very unique example when it comes to this. The Lakers have this combination where they have star power, and it's not just, you know, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, when those two were together, that's, okay, you can call them star power because they're all stars, but this is a different level of star power. The LeBron James and Anthony Davis is so by far the best duo in the NBA, it's hard to really have a conversation about anybody else. You can now make the argument. You could say, okay, well, if James Harden is James Harden, KD is KD, that would be the second best, but there's a drop-off because one thing that Anthony Davis does, he plays both sides of the floor. He's still the best two-way player in the NBA. And then you got LeBron James at age 36 is still the most valuable player in the league. And if you want to argue that, go back and watch any of these games this season. Every single time LeBron James is on the floor, Lakers are a different team. Every time LeBron James just to go get a quick little rest, everything changes for the Lakers, okay? But it's not just the star power. Go a step further than that. So the Lakers have the star power, and the stars that they have are absolutely ridiculous. All right, now do you have depth? Do you have real, legitimate depth? I don't think there's a team deeper than the Lakers. They got 11 guys a night that they could play. I got Laker fans hitting me in the post-game show or some of these social shows. Why isn't Talen Horton-Tucker getting more playing time? Talen Horton-Tucker is 20 years old. You're on a roster where it's a championship roster, literally. Lakers just won a championship a few months ago. They're favored to go back-to-back. Typically, when you have that type of roster, a 20-year-old's not going to get that much play. But Talen Horton-Tucker is so talented that you can make an argument, get THT in. And then I'll go down the list. Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso, KCP, Wesley Matthews, Marc Gasol, Markieff Morris. think about all the names that I just named off. So do you have star power? The Lakers do. Do you have depth? The Lakers do. And then I think this is something that is underappreciated in sports. By the way, I think it's underappreciated in every facet. It could be a family. It could be a relationship. It could be a business. Do you have chemistry? Lakers proved last season they got chemistry. The guys want to play together. The guys want to fight for each other. The guys want to have each other's back. They want to be critical when they need to be critical together. They want to call each other out to make themselves better, not to point the finger at somebody else. Lakers lost to the Spurs earlier this year here at Staples Center earlier this year, like a week ago, making it sound like it was 3 years ago. Lost to the San Antonio Spurs here. And I remember in the post game how much I loved hearing Anthony Davis say, you know, we can't play defense like this. How are we going to defend our title if this is the type of defense we play? I mean, he's calling out the entire team. And he was calling out himself as well. Aldridge had 28 points in that game. I think the Spurs hit 18 threes. You have your star player calling out the team, but he's calling out the team in a productive way, not a it's your fault, none of that stuff. So the reason why I mention that is because I have no idea if the Brooklyn Nets are going to have chemistry. The Clippers are yet to prove they have chemistry. One of the big differences of why the Lakers won last season, I thought it was because of exactly this word I'm talking about. They had chemistry. That when the Los Angeles Clippers went up 3-1 against the Denver Nuggets and were up double digits in every closeout game and blew the lead, I think chemistry, if it was a team that kind of was united, that everyone, you know, you can have those tough conversations on the sidelines or in the locker room or something along those lines, and everybody kind of galvanizes together. I thought the Clippers folded, and I do think chemistry has something to do with that. So there's a big difference between the Lakers and some of the other teams that are going to be competing for a championship. Let me take a few calls here. This is my favorite. You know, James Harden is such a polarizing figure. I'm curious to hear Laker fans' thoughts on this trade. And like I mentioned, Clippers or the Brooklyn Nets, who would be a tougher matchup in a 7-game set? Let's go to Brett in Orange County. Brett, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on Lakers Talk.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I would say Clippers, as much as I hate to say this, Clippers are definitely the tougher draw for a lot of the reasons you had already said, but mostly the depth in matchups. Mm-hmm. I do not know who at Brooklyn, other than DeAndre Jordan, is going to match up with AD, but how the matchups, who's going to guard LeBron, who's going to guard AD? I just think the Clippers are a little bit deeper. I think they've had 1 year together more than Brooklyn has to develop that team chemistry, but I honestly don't think either stand one shot at beating the Lakers.
Appreciate you calling. Appreciate you calling. Thank you, Brett. Yeah, I made the mistake, Brett, of throwing that out there in, on Twitter. Small website. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. Twitter.com, Steve. Yeah, that was not a good idea. It was like 95% Laker fans, I think 3% Brooklyn, and 2% none, or an other team or whatever the case is. Steve in L.A. Steve, thank you for calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Alan. Love the show. Always like your insight. Obviously, from a basketball point of view, it's obviously the Clippers. But you hit on it. Neither of those teams have chemistry, and the Lakers have chemistry. And it shows on and off the court. And, boy, Alan, the other thing that I notice is a lot of these teams, I watched the Lakers the last couple of games against these teams. Mm-hmm. These other teams are so young. And I think about it, it's like the Lakers have all the grown-ups in the room.
Hmm. Well, I think what's going to happen too, Steve, is because Brooklyn made that deal, and now it's an arms race. Thank you for calling in, by the way. It's a little bit of an arms race now, because if you're in the Eastern Conference, I don't know if you could just sit back. By the way, I'm surprised two calls went Clippers being a bigger threat than the Brooklyn Nets. I think I'm actually on the other side. I think if you have a James Harden that is willing and ready to play, which I think he will be. I mean, why wouldn't he? What a great chance for him to compete for an NBA championship. KD, I have no reason to talk about KD's resume. It's Kevin Durant. And then Kyrie Irving is a big question mark as well. I know we got question marks, but talent. They got talent. Now, how they kind of shore up the rest of the roster. Let me squeeze in one more quick call here. We got James Worthy coming up in a few minutes here. Anthony in Inglewood. Anthony, I appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, Alan. Okay, I don't think the Clippers or the Brooklyn Nets are the biggest challenge for the Lakers. Number one, the Clippers don't have a point guard. And number two, traditionally with the big three, one of those three players is going to have to suck up their ego and their game. Who is it going to be on Brooklyn? And we saw it work in Miami because Chris Bosh was able to suck up his ego and his game.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice, yeah, and do the little things that you need to do to win championships. Can James Harden do that? Can Kevin Durant do that? Can Kyrie do that? I don't see that because they're primarily offensive players.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant does play defense, but those other guys don't scare me defensively at all.
So if you don't think it's the Clippers and the Nets, was there another team you had in mind that you thought would be a bigger threat?
Boston and Philly. They're well-rounded, good coaches, got role players, got point guards, got shooters on the wing, got decent big men. You know, a well-rounded team like the Lakers would be a good opponent for the Lakers.
Anthony, I appreciate you calling in. I'll say this. I'm still a fan of them going all in. You know, I remember Michael and I, who there's nobody else I enjoy talking basketball with than with Michael Thompson. And for many reasons, I think you guys know him. Just his perspective is great. Perfect balance of joking around, but, you know, being really passionate about certain topics. I got pregame with Michael tomorrow starting at 5:30. I cannot wait to have some of these conversations. Do you know who Michael Thompson's his preseason pick in the NBA Finals was? It was Lakers and the Nets, and that was before James Harden. So let's just say the NBA got a lot more interesting. For someone like myself who, you know, just enjoys these NBA storylines, doesn't get any better than this. All right, big game James Worthy, Hall of Famer, three-time NBA champion, Finals MVP. I keep going on this man's resume. He does a fantastic job calling, doing these pre, post, and halftime as one of the analysts for Spectrum Sportsnet. He's coming up next, so I appreciate his time. Stay right here. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for chiming in on this topic. This is Alan Sliwa on Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got a very special guest in the house here, Hall of Famer, three-time champion with the Los Angeles Lakers, big game James Worthy. What's going on, big game? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Holding up like everybody else, you know, during these challenging times, but things are good.
Well, I think there's obviously nobody else that I'd love to get your opinion, your thoughts. We're 13 games into the season, so Lakers in at 10-3, best record in the NBA, 7-0 on the road. A lot of compliments for us to kind of go around so far to start the season, and probably not too much of a surprise. Obviously, the Lakers expected to be the elite team in the NBA. But I wanted to start off, you've been around great players. You've played with them. You've played against them. You're a Hall of Famer in your own right. I just want to get your thoughts. What makes LeBron different? What makes LeBron James, here he is 36 years old, still looks like the best player in the world. Can you just talk a little bit about what you've seen so far from LeBron this season and keeping into consideration his age and the level that he's playing at?
Almost hard to believe at 36 years old, LeBron is performing like a young fourth or fifth year superstar player. I mean, he really has the formula for how to last play the game from possession to possession. You look at his record of being in the finals. He's a sponge for knowledge of the game. And so it's not by accident that he is so disciplined and committed to, you know, working out. He spends a lot of time on his body so that he is ready to endure. And he's, you know, he's just a genius when it comes to playing the game. He doesn't really try to do any one thing in particular. You know, you have great scores. You have great, you know, great rebounds. You have LeBron does everything so well on a nightly basis. And his knowledge of the game, it's like having a coach on the floor. What do you need? You need me to drop some three-pointers like he did last night? You need me to, you know, get 15, 18 assists? You need me to go play some lockdown defense? I can do that. You know, he just has the pulse of the team. And so when you have a player on the floor, Magic Johnson was like that. You know, Larry Bird was that type of player. They made everybody around them, you know, better just by, you know, understanding what's needed. And he's a great teammate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see the shot the other night where he shoots in balls in midair and he turns and, you know, he knows how to monitor his teammates. You know, on the floor is one thing, but he also knows how to keep a stable locker room of good guys around him. So he's an amazing specimen that that just works hard. And right now he's a man, you know, playing amongst, you know, young boys because of his knowledge and what he has experienced over time.
Big game, you know, one of the things that it was actually going to lead right into my next question. So I'm always curious how important the chemistry part is. Okay, you can put together a great roster, and, you know, I'll get your thoughts on what that Nets roster looks like in just a second. But you can put together, on paper, it can look great. But you mentioned LeBron and the relationships that he has with his teammates. How important is that? You know, I know we could just look at pure talent and, like you mentioned, especially at this this stage of his career, doing what he's doing. But those relationships and that I feel like he nurtures, and this is not just with the Lakers. You saw it when he was in Cleveland, obviously in Miami. How impactful can that be? How much of a difference can that be of winning a championship and not winning a championship?
LeBron James is like a CEO or CFO of a big company. You know, he understands that, you know, everybody has a role to play in order to reach that common goal. So he understands personalities. He understands how to cater to his teammates. He knows how to be firm when he needs to be firm. That's merely monitoring your teammates constructively, always having positive feedback. And he just understands that. And, you know, so when you have a player on the floor that's not jealous of any teammates, he really, you know, incorporates the best guy on the team and, you know, the last guy on the team. He incorporates everybody. He texts his, you know, his teammates, you know, regularly to stay in tune. And, you know, that creates a stable locker room. And you can't win without that. You can have the highest paying salary in the league. You can have, you know, tons of talent. But if you don't have chemistry and cohesiveness, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you might have five superstars, but they might not be, you know, connected to make that fist that's going to become one big powerful blow. LeBron knows how to create that with all his teammates. And so he understands, you know, being happy, understanding your role, including everybody. And that's what he's learned over time. And, you know, at this prime time of his career, he's perfected it.
Hall of Famer, big game, James Worthy. You can watch him every Lakers game on Spectrum Sportsnet, pre, post, and halftime. Big game. Looking at these last, I don't want to put too much stock into these last three games. Lakers handling the Houston Rockets. We know, obviously, all the different storylines around Houston. Oklahoma City Thunder in a complete rebuild. But the Lakers didn't just win by 4 or 6 points. Lakers, from tip to end, absolutely dominated those games. Do you feel like the Lakers are just kind of starting to look like, okay, you know, that team that we were that on paper in the offseason, the depth that they have, obviously LeBron and Anthony Davis, do you feel these last three games were just starting to get a little sneak peek of what this season could potentially be?
Yeah, I mean, it's early. You know, it's good that they're trending in the right direction. You know, when you win a championship, there are some important things that happen in the bubble. They were together a lot. They had a chance to, you know, work on their communication skills with one another. And so when you win a championship, you know, you don't want to settle for anything less. So the hard work that you put in, they were a pretty good defensive team last year as well. Mm-hmm. You know, all that hard work, you don't go back to just mediocrity. So I think that's what we're seeing early. They know what it takes to win. You know, who wants to be, you know, the Western Conference Finals? Who wants to make it to the finals and lose? They're hungry. And with the additions that they're made, you know, with Schroeder and Montrez and Williams, Marcus All, and, you know, the way Tucker has come on, they're not taking any teams for granted. So, yeah, Houston Rockets, everybody knows the chemistry, you know, wasn't that good. Lakers don't care. We're going to do what we do. Oklahoma, obviously a young team, rebuilding, doesn't matter. You have to develop those habits. And I think they realized that last year. And so I think they're starting to just understand, regardless of who the opponent is or how weak or strong they are, in order to keep our pace going and going in the right direction that we need to be going in to win a championship.
Big game, James Worthy, taking some time to join Lakers Talk here. You mentioned some of these role players, and obviously there was a lot of conversation about the Lakers' depth after the offseason and free agency came into play. You add Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, like you mentioned, Talen Horton-Tucker having a good start to the season, certainly had a great preseason. You can go down the list of all these different players that contribute for the Lakers. They probably go 11 deep. I think that's fair to say. What have you thought, now that you've got a chance here the first couple of weeks, almost a month into the season, what have you thought of that depth? What has stood out to you? Is there any individual players that maybe has surprised you or anything like that? What have you thought of the Lakers, not just their bench, but their role players as well?
Well, Rob Pelinka in the front office did a great job this offseason with what they were able to acquire. You got, you know, the six-man award winner last year in Montrez, who's just a energy beast. You know, you don't have to call plays for him, but I think the Lakers are going to start calling plays for him because he's effective down in that post, and he's added the 15-footer. You know, if there are 50 shots that go up, he's going to go after all 50 of them. He's a nightmare to guard, and he just makes – LeBron and AD's job a lot easier with what he's able to contribute with extra possessions, offensive rebounds. You know, he takes a lot of charges. So that's a big asset. Schroeder was runner-up for six-man award last year. So you're looking at two guys in the same category. He wants to start. He feels like he can be in a category of, you know, maybe not too elite, but he feels like he can play with just about anybody. And you don't see point guards who pick up other point guards full court defensively. His defensive pressure is, I think, second to none. He's able to fight through picks, get over picks. And offensively, he's a threat. He can shoot the three. Mm-hmm. You know, he hits the floater. And he can drive by people and finish at the rim. So he's going to be a major threat. And then, you know, Marc Gasol is a little older in his career now, doesn't have that, you know, vertical leap. He's an intelligent player, and I think his his contribution is going to be a major passer. Because if you're cutting and moving, he'll get you the ball. A great pass. Wes Matthews, we know his career 3-point shooter is about 38% when he gets hot. And Tucker, who is the sleeper, not a sleeper for us because we knew what he can do. 6'4", 235 pounds with a 7-foot wing span in length.
Mm-hmm.
He's a diamond in the rough. And so the Lakers bench is what makes them dominant right now because they're able to sustain what the starters start. So the role players are doing their job.
Hall of Famer, big game, James Worthy, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Big game, what do you think of that trade yesterday? James Harden traded from the Houston Rockets, ends up with the Brooklyn Nets. If Kyrie Irving, let's just make the assumption that Kyrie makes his way back and is all in on that team, and obviously we know Kevin Durant, his resume, James Harden, a former MVP, what is that team in Brooklyn? Does that become the favorites to potentially face the Lakers in the NBA Finals? How do you view that trade?
Oh, yes, potentially. They put a lot of pressure on everybody in the East, Boston, Toronto, everybody. I don't know. We were talking about this at work last night.
Mm-hmm.
With Kyrie, the unknown, it's almost like, you bring in Harden as like a backup just in case Kyrie is in and out or out or in with wherever he's going to do. But the three of them together, and they possess a lot of offense, man. Mm. A lot of offense. So you're talking about a three-headed monster. You think of the Golden State days when they had Clay, Steph, and whoever the third guy was, whether it was Draymond Green, Iguodala, they were stacked. And when they had Durant, Curry, and Clay, it's kind of what you're looking at in Brooklyn. They lost a lot of players, so it's going to be interesting to see who the role players are because without good role players, without your Montrez type, without your Caruso type that does all the intangibles, it still could be a chemistry challenge. But on paper, you can't argue with that three-headed monster.
Who'd be a tougher matchup, you think? Clippers in a seven-game set or Brooklyn in a seven-game set?
I geared my mind not to even care about who we played, so it doesn't matter.
I love it. I love it.
It doesn't matter. I try not to look. Clippers are good.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of, incentive.
Sure.
After what happened to him last year, Paul George is having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Kawhi's going to do what he does. They're going to be a different team, hopefully. I don't know. They haven't proven that yet in the playoffs, but they're always great in the regular season. Brooklyn's going to be really tough. Steve Nash's job is tough to be able to put that together. So I don't really care. Both teams are going to possess. Brooklyn possesses a lot more offense, and they do have Kevin Durant, who I think is a little bit more deadlier, in my opinion, than anybody in the league. So.
Well,
my thoughts on that.
That trade definitely made things a little bit more interesting in the NBA. Big game. Greatly appreciate the time. As always, everybody knows you could watch Big Game, every Lakers game on Spectrum Sportsnet. Thank you for taking the time. Always a pleasure, all right?
You got it, Alan.
All right, that's Hall of Famer James Worthy right there. Let's do this when we come back. A couple things I want to react to from Big Game. He had a part of his conversation there was about LeBron James and just what he's doing at this stage of his career. But I'm going to keep this conversation going because I know there's a lot of Laker fans. I got phone lines lit up that still want to talk about the James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets, how that affects the Lakers, Clippers or Nets, which team would be a tougher competition in a seven-game set. So we'll do all that coming up next. If you're on hold right now, just give us a few minutes. We'll come back. We'll start taking your calls. 877-710-ESPN. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Lakers and the Pelicans tomorrow. Looks like Zion Williamson will be good to go. He didn't play yesterday against the Clippers. We'll get into the that matchup a little bit later in the show. I got to stay with this topic. It's a more interesting topic. Lakers, by the way, 10-3 on the season. How are Lakers 7-0 on the road? They're 3-3 at home. What am I missing here at Staples Center? 7-0. That's the best road start in Lakers history. How about that? 6-0, 85-86 Lakers team, and then they broke it yesterday with that win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Read off a couple tweets here, and then I'm going to take some phone calls. Christian Landon says, has to be the Nets. This is a conversation. Who'd be a tougher in a seven-game set, Clippers or the Brooklyn Nets? Has to be the Nets if Kyrie gets his act together and that chemistry meshes. Defensively, they can't guard anyone, but that's going to be a historically great offensive team. They don't seem to have a shot blocker. That'd be something to exploit. Hashtag Lakers Nation. Tech and Sports on Twitter says, on paper, Nets, but nothing is played on paper. That's a good tweet right there. Get right to the point. I got a couple other people telling me the Suns would be a tougher matchup. The Utah Jazz would be a tougher matchup. They play D and drop 20 to 25 three-pointers a game. Read one more off here. Quinto 75. I have to see how the three of the Nets work together. They might implode. Kyrie might not like playing with James Harden. Okay, let's go to Manuel in Gardena. By the way, if you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Manuel, what's going on?
Hey, Fleestack. First off, you are a testament to your parents. Mama Sleewa, Papa Sleewa, nothing but love for them. You have to be the most polite host that I've ever heard, man, and that's a testament to your parents. That's a good upbringing.
Well, I appreciate it.
I give you guys
appreciate
a shout out on that.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know if you got into my sack tonight or what you're smoking, because let me tell you something.
Talk to me.
There is a big problem in New Jersey, and it's not Jay-Z's three-quarter bridge nose that covers his face like a freaking squid was on it. No,
okay.
It's not.
What is
it's James Hammond Cheesden. It's Kyrie Swerving. It's freaking KD.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to break it down for you. You got there. Mm-hmm. Prolific scorers, yes, but you also got a freaking head case, basket case, guy that doesn't know whether he's coming or going. Okay, in Kyrie. You got Mr. Smorgasbord, James Havarti Cheesden, who can't push away from a table unless it's a freaking strip club that he's getting ousted from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also got KD, who is top three NBA player. Never been a leader on any team that he's been on. Okay, you got a bunch of guys with a bunch of stats. Like that dude who tweeted nailed it. It's not on paper, man. I'd love to see how this goes off on the court, because my thought is that it is going to be an epic implosion.
So, Manuel, would you have not made that trade if you're Brooklyn?
You have to make that trade.
But that's
if you're
the point. But that
you're New Jersey.
Because
I'm not recognizing them as Brooklyn until they win something.
Manuel. But that's the point. The point that I'm trying to make is, it's a no doubt about it. You make the trade, and there's no guarantee it's going to work. You're 100% right. I was listing off how important chemistry is in any business or sports organization or whatever the case is. Chemistry is everything. Now, it can implode right in front of their face, but I would still make that trade, and I'd still take my chances. And to be honest with you, I would take them over any other team in the East. And that's not me going out on the limb. I have no idea if Kyrie's going to come back in a week or a month from now, Kyrie's still going to be out. I have no idea if James Harden is going to be the Harden that we watched. I think to kind of look at James Harden, what we've seen since training camp, is not a fair way to assess James Harden. James Harden is still a baller. I appreciate you calling in, by the way, Manuel. I want to take a couple more calls here real quick. Let's not forget who James Harden is. Is he annoying? Does he try to draw fouls? Does he get to the free throw line and it almost looks like he's a European soccer player half the time? Yes. Harden can drop 40 and 15 any night. He can. And I disagree about KD not being a leader. You know, one of the when Kevin Durant decided to leave the Oklahoma City Thunder and go to the Golden State Warriors, I don't know where you guys are on that. Everybody has their own opinion on it. I hated it. I hated it because I loved watching KD lead. I loved watching KD lead that Oklahoma City Thunder team. And I thought, you know, one of the main reasons why I hated him leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder, of course I hate it because he was going to join the Warriors and the NBA was done, as in they were going to dominate, which they didn't. And if they didn't have an injury, they would have won three championships in a row. But the other reason why I hated it is because I thought he could win one in Oklahoma City. I really did. It's almost similar to LeBron. When LeBron went back to Cleveland and he eventually won an NBA championship, you could just tell that that one was different. That one just meant – that one was extra special. When he went to the Warriors, it's like, yeah, you're supposed to win. But I still think KD was a leader when he was in Oklahoma City. All right, let me squeeze a couple quick calls here. We do have top NBA stories coming up here at 8 o'clock. Manuel says, what are you smoking? I mean, what am I smoking? Are we not watching the same league here? All right, Mike and Downey. Mike, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I just wanted to make a couple of points with respect to Harden, specifically his playing style and how I think that's emblematic of the structure of the team in Brooklyn, especially when it comes to Nash and D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. He's thrived in offensive systems, specifically Houston, where they run a D'Antoni-type system, ball dominant, very little weak side motion, very much spreading the ball out, small ball. And we know that D'Antoni has always struggled against two things. One is big men against the Lakers back in the day, against Greg Popovich, and then also against very motion-heavy offenses. So again, triangle offense and Greg Popovich. I just don't see how adding Harden to a team that's already incorporating this very same style, it feels like it's a D'Antoni system cloaked with Steve Nash. Mm-hmm. It feels like I just don't understand how those two things are going to melt together to create a championship team. That team with the Suns never got out of the Western Conference. I mean, I can see the team getting out of the Eastern Conference because the East is weaker. But to be honest, I can see them really struggling against the Lakers with their big men. And I think that the bigger threat to the Lakers is the Clippers, who are running some triangle sets now, have more weak side motion. If you look at their game, they have a lot more passing than they were doing last year with Doc Rivers' set pieces. So those are just the points that I wanted to make. I don't think it was necessarily a mistake. I agree with you. They probably had to make the trade, but I really don't see it working out.
Mike, appreciate the call. Good thoughts on whether it will work or not. I'll tell you this. How good is the NBA? I mean, I'm going to save it for top NBA stories, but how good is the NBA? You know what we get? We get to find out if this thing is going to work or it's just going to absolutely implode and none of it makes sense. But I'll say this about James Harden. You know, Michael and I were talking about this yesterday in the pregame show. Maybe it was a couple days ago. I can't remember. No, it was yesterday. Lakers taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We were talking about worst trades in NBA history. You know one of the worst trades in NBA history? You know who's on that list? James Harden leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? Okay, well, why did everybody want James Harden in OKC with Kevin Durant and with Russell Westbrook? Why is it so much different now that these are going to be – I know Kyrie Irving is not Russell Westbrook, and I know they play, you know, obviously completely different games. But one of the points I was trying to make to Michael is I think James Harden has no problem dishing the rock. I think James Harden has no problem facilitating. I mean, go look at his stats over the last couple of years. He gets assists. I know, okay, yes, it's an offensive system where the numbers are going to be fluctuated or whatever the case is. But at the same time, it's not like James Harden, if he has Kevin Durant on one side and Kyrie on the other, is not going to want to pass the ball. Well, if that's the case, it would be a stupid decision, and we'll see what happens. All right, final call here. Then we'll go to our – actually, let's do this. Lamont, stay on hold. Let me go to break. We come back, top NBA stories. Before I get to the top NBA stories, Lamont, I'll let you get your thoughts in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.